first scripture passage comes from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses is teaching to the people of Israel, listen for God's holy word. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but you are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life, so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew. We continue on in Jesus' teaching from the Sermon on the Mount. Listen again for God's holy word. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or a sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or a sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him. Or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry the vows that you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be, yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. When I was a kid, growing up in West Michigan, for a period of time, every summer, my family and I and my brothers, we would go camping with a group of families from our church, Burton Heights Christian Reformed Church, and it was a lot of fun. Usually there'd be 8 or 9 families, and prior to going camping, they would reserve a whole block of campsites for us so that we all could be together in Holland State Park. If any of you are Hope grads, you might know Holland State Park. It's a beautiful little campground. I'm looking at Barb up there in the... that Barb too? It's a great little campground, and it was only maybe a quarter mile from Lake Michigan, and we would, all of our families, be together in these campsites. But there was a problem. Usually we couldn't get campsites that were all on one side or the other of the paved road that wound through the campground. And so there was this issue of the danger of the cars that would drive along that road. Now, typically they drove slowly, and they were looking out for kids that might be crossing the road. But you can imagine that the parents were a little bit worried as their kids would go from campsite to campsite, visiting different groups of people around this campfire, or going to that camper to play cards, or going over to a friend's campground to grab all of the things that we might need for a day spent by the lake. And so parents would instruct their kids about the safe ways to cross the street. And I remember in particular this one instance where there was this young guy, much younger than me, maybe 4 or 5 years old, and his parents had seen him cross the road in a way that wasn't the safest way. And so the mom was instructing this little fellow about how to cross the street in a way that was safe. And she was telling him the importance of looking both ways before he crossed the street. Well, a few minutes later, this little guy was on his way to another campsite, and he was running full speed towards the road. And so his mother called out to him to remember the instruction that she had just given him. And she said, "Look both ways," you know, after her son. Let's say his name was Tom. "Tom, look both ways before you cross the street." And Tom was a good, obedient young guy. And so he was running full speed towards the road. And being as young as he was, this was a pretty complicated set of maneuvers his mom was asking him to do, to be running at full speed and to look both ways. So in order to accomplish this complicated task, Tom closed his eyes to concentrate and quickly whipped his head back and forth in order that he could look both ways, and then continued and safely made it over the street running full speed. So what is the point of my story? The point of my story is that little Tom, he observed the letter of the law. His mom had told him to look both ways before he crossed the road. And by gum, he looked both ways before he crossed the road. But little Tom had clearly not understood the spirit or the importance behind that instruction. He wasn't yet understanding the importance of how that instruction was to pattern his life, change his life, change his behavior in such a way that he was safe, and that he was living in such a way that was safer than before. This dichotomy, this difference between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law is what's on display in Jesus' teaching from the Gospel of Matthew today. Jesus comes to a people who have known God's law. They have, from their youngest days, when they were young like Tom, have been hearing Moses' law. They've been hearing the instructions of God's law. But Jesus is aware that their interest in the law and the way that they are living it out is too much towards only understanding the spirit, the letter of the law, and not the spirit of the law. Now, there's a lot made about Jesus' teachings in the Gospels. Was Jesus coming to bring a new teaching? Was Jesus greatly altering what people were aware of and what they had heard growing up? And Jesus comes in Matthew, we hear him saying that, I haven't come to overturn the law. And he doesn't. He teaches things that Moses taught as well. But the import, the thing that he is trying to get across to his disciples and to the church, is the purpose of the law. Not to just be a checklist of activities that the disciples can check off and say, I have not murdered anyone today, therefore I have fulfilled the law. No, Jesus comes to point them back to the spirit of the law, the deeper meaning of the law, the ways that God had hoped the law would condition their lives and would touch their hearts and help them live in a way that was more according to God's desires. Jesus comes to direct the people back to the true nature of what the law was all about. And as I've been saying, it was about conditioning people's hearts. Yes, it was important to Jesus and to God that people not murder anyone, but there was some deeper truth behind that commandment. There was some deeper truth to the commandment not to murder. Not just that we should avoid physical violence and causing physical violence to one another, but even within this commandment not to murder is a desire within God about how our community, how God's community, should live together. John Calvin's commentary on this passage talks about how God's hope was that people would become friends. Friends. From the commandment, "Thou shalt not murder," we can get to the point of understanding that God's desire is for friendship. For friendship. And Jesus comes to point the people back to this deeper spiritual truth behind the law. It is not enough just to avoid causing people physical harm. Jesus' teaching is not easy. We can see that Jesus is increasing the difficulty. For he says, even if you are angry, you are liable to judgment. And if you go around insulting one another, you are in just as bad of shape, if not worse, than if you are refraining from murder. Jesus' commandments are not easy, but what he is doing is coming to help the people understand the value and the importance of the instruction that they have received and the instruction that they continue to receive when they go to their scriptures, when they go to Moses' law. What are they hoping to achieve? And the point that Jesus hopes to make to them is that God's law is to help condition their hearts. To help condition their hearts. Well, I think it is the case for us as well, not just the people of Jesus' day, that we face the same threats that Jesus' first audience faced. Like people of all times, it can be tempting to want a religion that is about a simple set of behaviors, a simple checklist that we can go through and check off and say, I've done this today, I've done that today, therefore I must be right with God. And in fact, God's call on our lives is more complicated than that, and it's more difficult than that. Jesus' point in our scripture for this morning is that God would hope that through the law we would become a community of love and care, a community of compassion and patience, a community where people don't hold on to their anger. They don't let their anger fester. They don't let their anger towards one another's cause long-term trouble and strife. But that the people would understand that it is important to find ways to resolve that which they are angry about. And Jesus is hoping that through his teaching, through their instruction in the law, they will understand that it is not good within their community to go around insulting one another, whether to each other's faces or behind each other's backs. Jesus is coming with a challenging law, but it is a law that is designed to help the disciples be what God has created them to be. As we have heard in the weeks past, they are to be a city on a hill, giving light to the world. They are to be the salt of the earth. And Jesus comes to remind them that Moses' law is a tool for them towards this goal of being salt for the earth. Well, it is the same for us as well. That the instruction we receive from the Bible, the law, even the boring stuff, the law, it is our guide. It is to our benefit. Because it helps guide us into community life, where we are able to resolve our differences, where we are able to practice forgiveness, where we are able to practice patience and kindness, where we speak about one another in ways that are uplifting and encouraging. And when we have differences, and when we have arguments, and when there is anger among us, we find ways to work through that anger. We find ways to resolve those differences. In doing that, we become God's special community within the earth. We become God's special community here for this place. Our public witness, our ability to welcome people in and for them to experience the blessing of this community. Our ability to take what we learn here and what we experience here and pattern it out in our wider lives amongst our friends, the people whom we come in contact with, showing patience and kindness to strangers in the grocery store or folks who might need a helping hand. This is God's purpose for us and for God's church. And so Jesus comes with challenging words that we should not let anger go unaddressed. that we each and every one of us need to think about the condition of our hearts. Are we allowing anger to sour our hearts? And each and every one of us needs to think about our behavior. Have we fallen into practices, habits of being fine with using insults towards one another in ways that are less than uplifting? It is important to acknowledge that Jesus' teaching here is not easy. But it is also important to remember that God sets the example for us. And through God's power, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God is able to work that example out in our lives. For if anyone had a right to be angry with God's people, and if anyone had ammunition enough to insult God's people, it is God. For in the Bible, we see and we know in our own lives that there is plenty that we do and plenty that God's people have done to upset God. But rather than letting anger overflow towards destruction, and rather than responding to our mistakes with insults, the gospel message shows us that God's response is a response of patience and mercy and kindness and love. This is the example that we have, and it is how and why we have our salvation, is that rather than letting anger and insults rule the day, God has let love and mercy rule the day in gratitude for that experience, that God has shown us kindness and grace and mercy. We too can respond towards one another. Well, our little friend Tom, from the beginning of the story, I'm sure that as he grew, he eventually understood this difference between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. I'm sure as he grew, he understood the difference between looking both ways and actually stopping and taking time to check if the road was clear. Be encouraged. If anger is something that you struggle with, if insults are something that you find yourself in the pattern of giving or receiving, there is hope that we can grow and we can change through the power of God's Holy Spirit active in our hearts to soften our hearts and to teach us God's ways. That is our prayer today, that God would work on us and work in us and work through us, that we might be a blessing to this world. So to God who gives us the victory, we give our gratitude. Amen.